for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, what's it all about, Alfie? Remember that song? What's it all about, Alfie? What's it all about? Really, really, what's it all about? I get up in the morning and I get myself prepared to do the show, and what's it all about, man? Really? I said to somebody yesterday, I don't know, my life is going by me so fast. The devil is just everywhere, distractions. And it seems to me that as the time seems to accelerate, can you believe it's 26th day of February? What? It's just like time's just flying by, it seems. Boy, the division's becoming greater and greater. The divide is becoming more and more bold and open. What's it all about, Alfie? What's it all about? So I sit in here today on the 26th day of February, what's it all about? Growing my beard back. I'm going with the full beard look here for a while, see how that one works. What's it all about? What's the next 15 years of my life all about? Next 15, 20, some of you 50 years. What's it all about? What's life all about, really? Really? What if there isn't a God? What if there is? What if there is a system of reward and punishments? And what if there isn't? What if there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? What if there really, really is? And if there really, really is a God and a devil and a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, why are we so cavalier about it? If we really are, if we're living in just a time-space continuum that where it's just something created that's spinning, if we're on this top that's spinning, I don't care whether it's flat or not, whatever, time passing, at the end of your days, I'm 67. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was reading something that, you know how this happens sometimes, you're reading something and all of a sudden the memory of that time washes back over you. Remember that? I was reading something and that memory began to wash over me and I thought, man, that's like in a different, that wasn't even me, was it? Was that really me? And I tried to go back and I tried to replay. I tried to put myself in every, I was a real sports junkie. I played three sports in college, believe it or not. People have a hard time believing that. I played football, basketball, and baseball. I only played basketball 2 years. You know, I wasn't a big guy, but I was good enough to be on the college basketball team at Otterbein. Check it, Google it. My whole life is about sporting events. And think where I began to try to replay. Like we used to, when I was in college, we'd take a spring baseball trip, spring break. We'd go down, we'd play against High Point College, Guilford College, and Gardner Webb. And I tried to picture in my head those places. They're 50 years ago in my mind, not 50, 45 years ago. Try to picture myself. And there'd be certain at-bats I could remember. Actually, certain plays that I made, I could remember, but I couldn't remember the whole spectrum of things. And then I would move on to different areas of my life, and I would remember little bits and pieces about it. And then you ever run into somebody and they say, hey, do you remember when we did, and I hadn't remembered it. I didn't. And then when they reminded me, say, oh, yeah, and that was so funny. What is time? So fleeting. So President Trump's been president for 3 years. We were laughing at him 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We were laughing at him, not thinking he could win. Now we look at the Democrats, and they're all socialists and communists, and they're not even regular American people. There's nobody up on that stage you could look at and say, man, he's a regular guy like me. What happened to us? How do we get – those are the things that run through my head. And as I crash over the waves at 67 years old and realize how short a time ago I was 54, in that same amount of time I'm going to be 80. And how much do I have left? What am I going to do with it? Lord, what do you want me to do every day? Lord, what would you have me to do today? Listen, not what do I want to do, because I want to go golfing. I want to move to Florida and take my wife down there and golf in the morning and lay on the beach all night. Oh, that's what I want to do. Not really. You get it. Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Lord, don't let me be caught with my pants down when you need me most. Don't let that happen to me, Lord. Lord, don't let me be in a relaxed position when I need to be prepared for the Lord. Lord, don't be like David when all the kings went to war, David stayed home or something like that, right? And that's when he fell for Delilah and that whole mess. Lord, don't let that happen to me. Don't let that happen to me. I'm proud this morning of Kevin Van's story, who just threw his hat in the ring yesterday to run for Congress. You guys can laugh about that. That's a heroic adventure, man. I did it once, Kevin. I know what it's like. It's heroic. I'm proud that you're doing it officially. And I say you can win. I say you can win. But don't try to be win. Don't try to win. Try to speak the truth. You're going to get an opportunity to speak the truth to more people than you ever spoke. God bless you for doing it, man. God bless you. Think about Todd Barham this morning, who's out of the hospital with his pneumonia, got out. Didn't get a chance to talk to him yesterday, but he's doing okay. Going through some tough times. Polly Heath, going through her chemotherapy, and Mike Heath, and losing his dad, and driving to Florida, and driving back home, and just all that. Life happens, doesn't it? Life just happens. And I just said to my wife when I came down the steps how much I loved her. And how when I got up this morning, the first thing I thought about was how much I love my wife, how much I appreciated and love my wife. And in this midst of this battle, this raging inferno that's going on around us, to not miss the simple things of life as well. Because it's easy to do, really, really easy to do. And because we were gone, I spent most of the day, was it yesterday? One of those days, Rich Wallace, I see Rich Wallace, and God bless Rich. I had a conversation with Rich yesterday. Somehow in the midst of this journey of life that we're going through and the important things that have to be done, we can't miss living life. We can't miss it. You can't miss the time with your grandchildren and your opportunities to make a difference. And I had a conversation with a couple of folks yesterday, and I'm kind of in the middle of a ministry swing, if I can say this. I'm 67. Stay with me. It's going to be a good show today. Stay with me. And I thought about, you know, Michelle and I just got back from 4 days in Houston. I love being down there. I love being in the middle of the battle. And I know that I have something to offer. I was there for a reason, but it was 4 days. I think it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Might as well have been five because we didn't get back to middle of the night on Sunday. And it's not glamorous. It may seem glamorous. I think about so much time sitting in an airport and wasting that time in an airport. And said, Lord, what can I do? What can I do at 67, 68? I'm not having a midlife crisis. I'm just talking to you here about you and you as well. And the difference that you can make, no matter how old you are, where you are, you can still make a difference. And how, Lord, can I best do that? And my greatest frustration comes from the fact that I have so much to share with people and very little venue to do it. I have it here. I share it here every morning. And listen, I'm sorry if that sounded arrogant. That's not what I meant. I have so much stuff, simple stuff that people don't. I realized that yesterday when I left Worthington Kilbourne High School. I thought, man, Lord, I ought to be doing this all the time. I ought to be doing this all the time. I ought to be doing this with adults. I ought to be doing this all this gift that you've given me. Lord, what's the plug in the tube? Poke that out. And so I think that one of the things I want to start doing with the whole confluence of Sky High, which, by the way, we have, it's been remodeled every day. It's changing every day up there. And my wife and I have taken out we're paying for it out of our own pockets. I'm not asking anybody else to do it. Taking out some loans and doing some different things like that to pay to have Sky High refurbished, because I know that the Lord brought that property into our life. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But I know that He did. Can't deny that He did. And so that while all that's happening, everything's going on, and our lives are spinning around us, I've come to the conclusion that it's time. I can't run around. How much longer can I run around America trying to wake people up? It's kind of to the point now where it's time for people to come to me. And we're going to start focusing. You know, God bless Chad Estes. And I get in a plane and fly down to Moody, Texas, and spend 3 days down there. And I get to talk to 15 or 20 people, whatever's at Chad's house. And God bless him. I love doing it, and it's good. And I go to Iowa, and I talk. You know, I get a chance to do some in different places like that. But it's time for me to sit and people to come to me. That's what I think Sky High is about. Gather men together at Sky High. Train and equip and mobilize men in particular. We love women here, but men in particular. Put in them what's in what the Lord's given me. Put inside those hungry men what the Lord's given me. Raise them up and raise up their children. And just so I sense them in a little bit of a ministry shift. Not pulling it in the garage at all. No. No, I'm popping the clutch. We're going full bore. But I think less time in airports and more time with men there, I think, will be effective for me. What do you think? What's your take out there?
Well, Coach, I'll just jump in here real quick. I've done my best to try to, make you as famous as I can. I talk to you. I talk about you frequently on my radio show. I probably two or three times out of the month, I'll read the things that you drop, the stories and the excerpts that you drop on Thursday mornings, and because frequently, I mean, you. I have not come across somebody that has got a pulse on what's going on in my lifetime than you. I mean, and I started following you back in probably 2009 or 10, and with that News with Views, and it's just progressed from there. So,
well, amen, Kevin. So I guess as you guys are out there, listen, I'm going somewhere. This is not therapeutic. Stay with me a second. How can I best serve the need? How can I best build this army that we're trying to build? When it's so hard, pick any name, Bobby Lee, Chad, it doesn't matter. People who try to organize, OJ, people try to organize events, and it's so hard to get people there. Maybe it's time to pull back and just have people come who really want to know and really want to be trained. I can't fly around every city in America and talk to five people. I want to do that, but that didn't work. I want to raise you up and train you up to start your own little nest, your own little huddle, and your own little area of influence. That's what I think the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to teach you to play. He doesn't want you to invite me to come and play at your house. He wants me to teach you to play, to equip you. And there's so much, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be puking all over you this morning.
And the aspects of going into being a man, I mean, I heard you say a while back that your vision is the whole genre of manhood, hunting, fishing, fighting. I mean, there's so many people in our company of men with skills and teaching abilities that can train men.
Bobby, I got 30 wood. We got 50 acres right here, right here. Instead of flying to Moody, Texas, God bless Moody, Texas, they ought to come here. Yeah. We do a weekend. We do a weekend of training. We work biblical issues in it. Show them what it means to be a man and how to practically do it. That resonates in my heart.
Then the mindset has to change. I mean, I think when people think of men's groups, they think of wishy-washy church, do nothing, cowardice men. We need to train men in a warrior class of men. That's what we need to do. And when I was out at your place last summer, and you asked us what do you guys see? You know, I have certain skills and abilities. I saw at the bottom of the hill, I saw certain cabins with bags down there. With me, with a group of young men learning how to throw hands. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Or learn how to hunt, right? Skin an animal or whatever, right? Got actually right. Hands-on practical stuff mixed with biblical truths and training our kids to do the same thing. Oh, man, man, man. You know, sometimes it's like getting on. I have right over here in my multi-million-dollar studio those exercise machines. What are they called? And it doesn't get me anywhere. I get on that thing and I set it for 30 minutes. The next thing I know, I'm right where I started. So I don't feel like I don't want to be an elliptical. I don't want to feel like I'm doing something not getting anywhere. I want. That's why I'm proud of Kevin Van Store. I see fruit there, and I see fruit in your life, Bobby. Rich, I see fruit in your life, and I see fruit. I want to produce fruit because, listen, I wrote this down today. The Lord gave me this morning. Salvation, I'm reading what I wrote. Salvation always produces good works, but good works never produce salvation. I'm going to say it again. Salvation always produces good works. If you are saved, good works will follow you. But if you're just doing good works, there ain't no salvation in that. Salvation first, and then the works are produced, right? The works are produced. And I don't want to go about working, although the scripture says to work out our own salvation, to work it out. That doesn't mean that you work your way to heaven. It means you take this thing called salvation and you work like kneading bread. You work it out. What does this mean? What does this mean as you get the lumps out of you? You're working out your own salvation. So you become secure in what this whole thing is all about. And that's what I want to help men do.
Hey, Coach.
I'd love to go speak to 5,000 men. I'd love to speak to a stadium full of guys at Promise Keepers and wake up their hearts. But see, if I just go and I speak to them once and I wake up their heart and they go back and they rot on the beach, that hasn't been effective. I want to teach guys how to do. I want to teach them how to work out their own salvation. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, it says work out your own salvation. It doesn't say work your way into salvation.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I think salvation includes the obligation to work. But
it's an inside out thing, Larry, not an outside.
Right. You work it out. You don't work to get in.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. And I just look around and I thought about it this weekend. It really got on me kind of heavy when I went to the school on Monday and saw how those young men, oh my God, they need coached. Oh my Lord. Where are their dads? And I came to the realization this, have you guys thought about this? We are the first generation. My children are the first generation raising children without biblical faith. For the most part, my generation, the baby boom generation, we were raised with biblical faith. And the best that we could, we handed it off to our children. But we didn't do a very good job with it. And our children are now raising their children, for the most part, without biblical faith, without it. Praise the Lord, ours are. Our children are. But they're a minority. They're a minority. So it's impacting and affecting our entire country that the foundational principles of every home in America is no longer biblical. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be. And I think I'm allowed to announce this. Our son finally, Zach, finally got engaged, going to get married someday here in August, which is a relief to his mother. That's a whole nother story. But I look 67 years old and look at our own children and will my own children produce Christians? Are my offspring going to produce Christians? Scary thought, isn't it? Well, they'll have children. Will they be Christian children? When they're living in a culture and a society so different from the one I grew up in? When I grew up in a society where everyone believed that mommy and daddy stayed married, everyone believed that every home, even though they didn't all stay married, they all believed that you should, that was the right way to do it. When you were ashamed, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, Everybody was ashamed. Nobody was for shotgun weddings. There were shotgun weddings, but it was a shame to a culture and a society now where there is no shame. In fact, there not only is there no shame, there's no shame even about murder. You just murder that baby. Or as Michael Bloomberg said, you kill it. You kill it. You understand? You understand the culture and the society that we're raising our children in? That little child sitting here, Mike and Polly, those grandchildren sitting around you, and Larry, and all of us are old enough to have those little kids sitting around us. That's the next generation. That is the continuation of the gospel of Christ in America, right here sitting around me. Do we take that seriously? Do we understand the purging of Christ out of the government schools, and the fact that your kids, if you raise them as Christians, you send them to a government school, they're learning something in an entirely different religion than you did, and then you live in your home? Do we understand that? Do we see it? Or if we've bought into this lie, I call it a lie, I don't care, escapism, it's not going to matter, Coach, because we're not going to be here. I don't know, man. I don't. Kind of melancholy this morning you got to watch Hagman last night. I got a segment. I don't know if I'm going to play it. Raise your hand if you watched Doug Hagman last night. Good. Some of you did. If you didn't, go watch it, because I can name right now about six people, maybe seven people that I know right now who are having trouble sleeping. They have trouble sleeping at night. And, you know, I told you I started listening to the whole tones thing. Well, you say, what? Yeah, whole tones right here. I started listening to it. And so last night on Hagman, they had Michael Turrell, who's the inventor of whole tones. And Michael Turrell started talking about, you ready? I thought he was Mark Trump's brother. He started talking about frequencies, and how our entire lives are controlled by different types of frequencies. In 5G, and I got a little segment here. Maybe I'll get around to it. But I want you to think this through now. Come on, stay with me here. He said, what if the coronavirus has more to do with frequencies than virus? That was a wild moment for me. I thought it was Mark Trump talking. All these frequencies that are flying around, everything, the 5G and the 4G and the 3G and the radio waves and the microwave. And he said, you turn on a light and there's waves that come out of it. And it's a different kind of wave, and how we are being inundated with all kinds of waves. And maybe coronavirus is more than a virus. Maybe it's been impacted by the way. Are you ready? And the chemtrails and all this stuff. It's just a combination and a mixture of devilish things that are making all this stuff work. Yeah, Mark.
An antibody is an anti-frequency.
You got to get together. You got to get together.
I mean, this stuff is real. Our body operates at a molecular level with energy. It absolutely does. And when God spoke, he created energy.
Jared, pull that up there. At the 24.4 minute mark. Go ahead, Mark. I want Jared to get this ready.
Oh, that was it. That was it. I mean, I'm looking forward to this. Yeah.
Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. And I said, I was waking up in the middle of the night. I have that whole tone music playing wherever we go. I sleep to that music. And I've been sleeping really good, and I couldn't sleep last night. And you know what else is amazing? Michelle told me she woke up too. She couldn't see. I didn't sleep. I said, there's a frequency. There was something in this. There was something trying to fight through last night, an energy, a frequency. We don't understand the world, do we? See, you can tune out now if you're worried about tinfoil hats, but there's a frequency, man. Hang on, Mark. Oh, I don't have it anymore. Yeah, I do. It fell off. Tinfoil hat. There's something with this thing. There's something with this frequency. I was thinking about it when I was in Worthington, Kilbourne. How can those kids be so lost? How can they be so lost? How can they be so lost? How can they not have any common sense? What happened to it? What happened to common sense? Hey, Jared, pull that up there real quickly. And Jared, I think we can time and a half it. I don't, folks, I don't want you to watch all, we're not going to take time to watch all this, but I think it's critically important that today, during your time, you, whatever that would be, when you're out for a walk, when you're on your, whenever you, when you're doing this, you're not getting anywhere, put it in and listen to what this guy said last night, because it was absolutely mind-blowing, fascinating to me, only because I was open to hear it, because I'd heard about it from Mark talking about it and frequencies and all that. So pull it up there, Jared. This is Michael Terrell, who does the whole tones. Okay, let's play. Let's play 5 minutes of this and see what happens. Go ahead, Jared.
Al Gore. That's a joke.
I got it. It landed here too. Yes.
So here's my point. His way of doing it is totally different than these guys' way of doing it. Let me tell you what a pico-Tesla frequency is. A pico-Tesla frequency is what we call an LFO, or low-frequency oscillation, okay? It's super slow, 6 hertz, 10 hertz. And what is the secret of that? Well, that's full body, meaning all that can affect in the whole world is the physical body, not the soul, not the mind or spirit, just
right.
The body.
Right.
So pico-Tesla frequency, Tesla's idea, which is proven fact, but you never hear about it because they tried to erase any trail of Tesla and gave credit to other people to create things that he created, of course, and they, we won't go there, but anyway, it's not conspiracy. That guy got used.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the greatest minds that ever graced this planet. So with that being said, a pico-Tesla frequency is a low frequency, but guess what? Low amplitude. Why? And what is amplitude? Well, if I amplify my voice, then I just peg the meters that had been there because I amplified. I added what? More power. To something.
Just so brought a tear to Eric's eye there, Eric the techie.
I love you, Eric. No, sorry. So my point is this, guys. If you amplify an LFO, you can destroy a body with it. You can shake a body apart atomically, okay? So Tesla used what? LFOs with low amplification. And you could multiply low amplification around the world without causing any physical harm to plants, animals, or human beings. Now, what these guys have done is they've taken a super short frequency, right? That doesn't have a lot of bandwidth, but man, you talk about lightning fast, 60 gigahertz? And then they have repeaters everywhere. And guess where else it is, friends? It's in the sky. It's the eye in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
So they're beaming this stuff down and they're beaming this stuff across. So we're getting it from every possible parameter. Now, let's add insult to injury. So let's say that the coronavirus isn't a virus at all. Let's say it's like, and if you want to check me, about a year ago, plus minus. Do you remember a Cuban incident where there was a frequency that went forth and it affected everybody in the embassy over there? And they started having what? Heart palpitations, trouble breathing, bluing of skin. Some of them passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Ultra high frequency weaponry. No, we wouldn't do that. HARP. Okay, I won't go any further. Just do the math. So what I'm saying is these guys want to beam an ultra high frequency. And guess what? Those things, those towers have to be everywhere. They have to be everywhere because they can only go so far, then to the next one. Then it's like a web of EMF, which is electronic magnetic fields, which is extremely dangerous. One of the reasons I moved off the grid was to have some land between me and everybody else's modem. I'm on 3 acres. I got to get away from this. Some of you don't have the luxury. I'm working on it. I've already released some of it. You're hearing about it today. Here's my point, guys. Frequency has what? The ability to create or destroy, just like a word. Like when Doug and I are speaking, because we really care for each other, it's iron sharpening iron. We're giving to each other. What are we giving? Positive frequencies. How are we doing that? We're talking about things that matter with a heart that loves. Okay? Now, the same thing happens when somebody hates you. And people are wondering right now, well, okay, on social media, why do I not like Facebook anymore? Because it's a bunch of crap. Because it's people doing what?
Amen.
They're sending out their negative frequencies, and then it's being amplified by what? Social media. And then what happens? Bad news, bad news, bad news. And then you go on Facebook, and it's like, I used to just put up pictures of babies and dogs. Now it's like everything's the end of the world. Everybody's going to die. It's all about this. It's all about that. And 90% of the junk that you're reading, that you're getting marinated in, is not factual information. It's one form or fashion of fake news. And all of the world is crying out for one thing, the truth. Now, what's interesting is a particular group of people have even distorted that idiom. And what have they said? Well, this is my truth. There is no my truth. There is no your truth. There is the truth. And the truth is absolute. It is not speculative, right? It's not. And that's where this disconnect from this narrative started, was they tried to chop away at the truth by saying, well, you know, it's your truth and my truth. The truth is the truth wherever you find it. But it's the truth. And it's absolute truth. There's even scientists now trying to teach that truth is not absolute. Why? Because their theories are jacked up and they have to say something. So they come up with a narrative that, guess what? The truth is subjective. It's subjective to what?
Amen.
What is truth subjected to? The truth stands on its own two legs. It doesn't need help from anyone or anything. It's absolute. It's a lighthouse in the midst of a storm. So what do I do? Well, I have one niche in life. A lot of people love to, and there's some candidates right now, by the way. One of them spends a whole lot of money on advertising, but I won't mention his name because he does a good job doing it. He's already spent $500 million. And you know what? If you listen to him, he's done everything. Just like Gore. He's invented everything. He's changed everything. You'd swear that the state he comes from is like it's an economic, you know, breakthrough when it's like always on the verge of foreclosure and destruction and everybody hates the guy in that state. But I've got the answers. I'll fix this. And I'm like, we don't need fixing. Have you looked at our economy lately? I travel every week. You know what it looks like to me? Cranesville, baby. Everywhere I go, people are building, 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 building. It's hard to get around inside big cities anymore because there's so much construction. So the lie is, oh, things are bad. America's a mess. We need another guy to fix this mess. Really? And the other one is, oh, there's a terrible coronavirus, and it's doing this. And first it came out of a seafood place, then it came out of this plant. And now they're saying it may be coming out of a frequency. All I'm going to tell you is I know one thing. I'm the frequency freak. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to frequency, how it affects the body on a cellular level, how it affects us in a behavioral level, how it can affect us in ways we don't want to think about, nefarious ways of being used as weaponry against countries' own people. So before we get into whole tones, Doug, what do you got to say?
That's why you're the man. This is why.
I'm telling you, you get a chance to watch. I had it on time and a half, so it went a lot faster. But I want you to, you to think about what he just said. Have you ever walked into a room? Hey, Mark, I saw it this weekend, okay? And we were talking. You did the show last week, was it, Mark, about the spoken word and the importance of us not typing it, not Facebook, not texting it, but actually speaking it, because there's a power in this. And the Bible says, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they're life. There's something that comes out of words. And you know, Amen. That you can walk into an environment and you can be sitting in that environment and you can feel the negative vibes to where you turn to your wife and say, I got to get out of here. I can't take this. I got to get out of here. Why? Because there's a force that comes. And I saw it on Friday night or Saturday night, whichever night it was, Friday night, when I was in Houston, Texas, and this discussion's going on about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that, and we can't do this, we can't do that, and my head's about to explode, and I'm feeling something in me. Are you with me? I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is, but there's something in me that has got to get out. And open my mouth, and whoa, entire atmosphere changed in the room. There's something to it, boys and girls. There's something to this that we are missing. And I don't have the answer. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, but I got to tell you something. There is something to this power that we have yet to pick up on. Because you know this. Man, oh man, I could right now, whoo, I could open up this Bible and I could say this. I could start reading out of Isaiah and I will feel power come. I'll feel it. When you get done in the morning and you're reading your daily scripture, you are going to be empowered. That's why you sit down and read it, because there's some power that comes out of it. And that's why the Lord said to meditate on it night and day. Meditate on it, right? But at some point, you have to take that meditation and you have to ignite it, because it ignites others. And we are bombarded 24/7 by negativity. Negativity. You turn on the news, it's all negative. All of it is. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. You're going to die. They're going to die. We're all going to die. Get Bernie in there. It's negativity. Folks, there is something real to this. That's why, but Jesus said, I'm not a name it, claim it guy, but he said that there's power in the tongue. Power in it. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, words come. Out of what's in your heart, words come. And he said, you can listen to the devil. You can listen to all that crap. You can do all that you want to. But I'm going to tell you this. He said, the words that I say unto you, the spirit.
And it's Coach. That's he said unto you, say unto the mountains, be thou plucked up and removed.
Power there.
Brother, the power that we have, I use the simple analogy. God says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. So the likeness is the key thing. Image is that we carry the bearing of the image of God. God spoke. Jesus says, I am the word. God spoke the word. And the Holy Spirit literally went into this blank chasm and created the cosmos. And Jesus said the same spirit that Paul said, the same spirit, that active thing that raised Christ from the dead, that's wow. inside of us, wanting to be released through the power of the word. We speak life and death in the power of the word, and they who love it eat its fruit thereof.
Genesis 1, Jared, pull that up. Go ahead. Somebody else is
trying to come in. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
A couple of things, you know, you look at the story of the wall of Jericho. What did God tell the Israelites to do? Walk around that wall seven times.
And then do what?
Just praise the Lord.
Right?
But I also think too, the world has a better understanding of this than we do as a church.
Yes. 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 In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then what happened? God opened his mouth. Wow! Boy, if we could get this. He opened his mouth, and his mouth, the words of his mouth created. Let there be light. Woo! Man, he said, let there be firmament. These words.
There's an unbelievable
power, real frequency power in the spoken word. I'm convinced of it. Because you guys know this, that you can walk into a room, and you, when you walk into the room, a lot of times you can feel what's in that room. You can feel it. Feel it. And that's why we hate Facebook and texting and Twitter, because you can't feel it. You can only read it. But that's a remarkable thing about the Bible. Because the Bible, you can read it and feel it at the same time. Oh, man. That's for me. I don't get bogged down on that. But that's for me. Because I'm going to tell you, we are constantly bombarded by lies. And why are we bombarded by lies? Because lies are destructive. Lies are negative power, negative energy. They are, I hate to admit this. I don't understand electric. AC, DC, alternating current, direct. I get it, but I don't get it, right? I don't get it. But it obviously works. Because I know this, if I don't plug that thing in, these lights don't come on. So I get it. There's a power there that I don't understand. And we call that power, I think, potential energy, don't we? It's sitting there waiting to be plugged in. And it won't do anything till you engage it, until you plug it in. Then, wow, look what happens. One, two, three. Look at all the lights I have in there. Wow. Why? Because I tapped into potential energy. Man, oh, man. You like being around negative people? You enjoy that? You like hanging out people who are either almost dead or are dead. You enjoy that? Enjoy that kind of life? Why do you think you like to go to hear people tell funny stories and make you laugh? Because there's a positive energy that comes about. It's real. It's not man-made. It's not name it, claim it. It's a reality that we have yet to figure out how we use. Go ahead, somebody.
Coach, when you get through with Genesis 1, jump over to Acts 4:31.
Get there, Jared. Acts 4:31.
You want to see frequency? I'll tell you what outcomes, Coach. It's the amplifier is the Holy Spirit. That's what the key to our frequency changing things is. It isn't about how smart we are. It's not about what we know about the scientific. It's about how much does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? That's what it comes down to.
Amen. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. There it is, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There it is. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. No negative energy coming in there. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Man, oh man.
It's all tied together, Coach.
We fight so much negative energy and don't even understand it. We don't even understand it. That life and death, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Because why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth speaks what you really believe. What you really believe. And that's why we have to renew our minds. That's why we have to take thoughts captive. Because we have to guard our heart. Because if they capture our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, we speak. When you turn on that TV, there ain't no good news. There ain't no good news. We live under that shroud of negative, negative, negative. And I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Coach, yesterday my wife and I were in the car, and I just turned on, I wanted to see the traffic report. So I turned on a local station, a conservative station, and they started giving the news. And I'm telling you, we looked at each other and just said, I can't take this.
Randy, we're not supposed to take it, see?
Coach, when I turned off the television years ago, when I turned off all the fake news and the negativism, I began to change. My thoughts changed. The positive of my attitude changed. We need to get rid of these bad vibes, all this bad frequency, Coach.
So, Randy, I'm sitting on the couch. I was on one end of the couch. Michelle's on the other end of the couch just before we went to bed. And I was listening to Michael Terrell. I was listening to him. She was listening to him. We were listening to it together. And when I turned it off and we were headed towards bed, you know what I said to her? I said, I can't remember how many hours I wasted from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, over my life listening to Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity on Fox News. I would sit down in front of that every night. That's what I fed my soul every night. And I don't do that anymore. I don't even turn on the TV. I look for things that will uplift me, and things that will encourage me, and things that will strengthen me. And no longer do I look to government to be the solution to our problems. See, that's where the divide comes with. Do I have to say it? Yeah, okay.
Well, Coach.
Hang on a second. Hang on, Rob. I got to get this out. I think never Trumpers have no faith. That's what I think. Because, see, they don't understand. I'm not putting my faith in Trump. My faith is not in Trump. My faith is in what Trump will allow us to do. Amen. It's not in him. But, see, never Trumpers are looking at like we're idolizing Trump. I ain't idolizing Trump. I say every day in this program, it's up to us. It's up to us. Thank God Trump gave us the ability to still function, church. Thank God for us. Trump ain't going to save us. It's up to us. Amen. He opened the door. Come on in, church. Come on in, people. And if we miss it, it's our fault. It's not his.
Amen, Coach. Hey, Coach, listen, just like I said before, Trump is not a righteous man, but he's a right man for the job. What's wrong, you freak? Stop idolizing people. None of us idolize Trump.
I got people who quit listening to this show because they think I promote Trump too much. You believe that?
Yeah. So they go to listen to John Hagee, right?
There's something wrong with them.
Idiots.
I'm sorry
to call them idiots, Coach. They were listening, but they're deceived. They're led astray.
Amen.
Well, Coach, the good thing about it is, you know, the gospel is called good news. It's good news.
That's good news.
And I don't care what happens in culture or the world or vaccines or globalism. It's all good news. We can look at it with the good news. Maybe Christ is coming back next week, you know. I mean, we're going to win. We are winning. And, you know, we should have a positive outlook because God is on the throne.
Jared, pull up my Facebook page real quick. I'm with you, Robert. Boy, this hour's flying by.
Hey, Coach, while you're getting that up. Listen, ABC should be running your show after what they did to those kids. All those idiots should be in jail. Every executive at ABC and CBS
should be. Well, you know why they're not? Because we want Trump to do it. We want Trump to do it, right? Hey, Trump, you do it. Hey, Trump, you end abortion. Hey, Trump, you do that. Hey, Trump, you end gay marriage. Hey, Trump, you end homosexuality. Trump, why would I want Trump to do it?
Right. Lord, he's busy being president, Coach. Why don't we do something? All right? Jeez. I mean,
holy smoke. I just got the vision, not a vision, but I just saw this. When I was a little kid, my dad used to take us hunting. And we'd be rabbit hunting or squirrel hunting. It didn't matter what it was. And sometimes we'd come to a fence that I couldn't get over. I just wasn't big enough. I couldn't get over. You know what my dad would do? He would reach down at the bottom of the fence and he would pull the fence up and he'd let me crawl under it. He'd say, here, Dave, crawl under it. And I'd get down and I'd crawl under the fence. Trump's pulled up the fence. Crawl under it and go. It's not about him. Holy smokes. Oh, Where am I? Go to the top, Jared. Came across this today. Right
hey, there. Coach.
Hang on a second. Go ahead. Right there, Jared.
Now, in line with, you know, Trump has opened the door for us to walk through and do our part. Think about this, guys. Trump's only got 4 more years max. Well, 5 counting this year. But he's only got a few years left of when he is in charge of keeping the door open. After that, I don't see anybody on the horizon that's going to follow up in his mold. So
Larry,
if we don't act now, if we sit around waiting for the perfect opportunity and perfect time and perfect plan, we're going to find out Trump's out of office and it's too late. We don't have opportunity to act anymore.
How many times has he told us they don't hate me, they hate you? They hate us. They hate us. They hate Christ. They hate the image of Christ in us. How many times are you going to tell us this? I came across this today. Nikita Khrushchev said 60 years ago, your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we will keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find you already have communism. We'll not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist when we take away from those who are willing to work and give it to those who would not. That happened, and that is the fruit of communism, of the indoctrination in our government schools, and what I saw at Worthington Kilbourne. Godless parents raising godless children. That's the America that we're in. Trump can't save us. And I may never mention that name again. It's so to think that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and we are breaking fellowship over our opinion of the President of the United States is, by the way, startling to me. Donald Trump does not impact my life, not one iota. Saved Magazine. Jared, pull up. SavedMag.com, I think it is. SavedMag.com. I want to, you guys remember we had Pastor Asham on, he produces this magazine. Rob Pugh, connect with Asham. It's easy. Saved Magazine. I got our first copy of it today. Not the first one. I'm in this one, so that's why I'm promoting it, so in case you want to know. I have a commentary in the back of it. Lord, teach my hands to war. But this magazine is full of everything we talk about. Hard hitting, in your face, all things not being equal. Taking on the homosexual movement and the homosexual flag. We got an article in here, Drag Queen Perversion Hour, talking about that. Not soft Christianity. Dear bigots, the police becoming bigots. The new patriarchy, who they are, who's controlling it. This is a Christian magazine, saved.com. Pressing against Lot's door, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Commentaries. Beautiful. Elizabeth Johnson speaking of, where is that? There she is. Taking back your child's education. Come on, folks. Now, listen. Two things. This needs supporting. This is not a cheap ride, man. This is a nice magazine. Really nice. Really nice. Not cheap. I think it's $5 a piece. I think you can get 10 of them for $50 or something like that. This guy deserves our, comes out once every 4 months, I think. There's a yearly subscription for $29. And then you can get, like, I think it's Jared, look under activist packs at the top. Click on that, activist packs. Right there. And for an activist pack, you can get what? 10 of them for $49. I mail you 10 of them for $49. You can give them to people. They're a great evangelistic tool. They are. They're not a piece of paper that you just can throw around. The gay NIV, talking about the NIV and the gayness inside that. SavedMag.org just came out. Support. Okay, cool. Oh, man. I don't feel like I've gotten anywhere yet to where I want to get. Somebody come on in. I feel somebody's got something to say.
Hey, Robert, hey, Coach.
You got to play places.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Luke 6 and verse 45. I preached it at the Democratic caucuses last Saturday. And that was my theme. And this speaks volumes.
Luke 6, 45. Jared's pulling it up there. Look, can I start at 44, Jeff?
Yeah, 45.
How about I start at 43?
Go Jared, for it.
Let's start at 42. Let's do 43. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns, men do not gather figs. You don't get fig trees out of a thorn tree, thorn bush. Nor out of a bramble bush that doesn't have any roots do you gather grapes. No, every tree produces its own fruit. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil fruit. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then he says to the rest of us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That's profound, isn't it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Do I have an answer for that? Anybody have an answer for why we call him Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which he tells us to do?
Because we value appearance over actual character.
We'll say it again, Vinny. We value what?
We value the appearance of character over actual character.
That's right. We don't even know. See, we don't even know what good fruit is anymore, right? Because most of us don't have the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't recognize good fruit if we saw it. We wouldn't.
Two ways people call Jesus Lord, Lord, and don't bear good fruit. One is they don't understand what Lord is. Nobody's bothered to tell them. Mm-hmm. And the other one is they do not. I can't even put it into words, but they don't know what Lord is. So they could, you know,
right.
They think it's a title. They call it Jesus. You're Jesus. Yeah.
So Larry, I know this I said this to my wife this morning. I've paraphrased this morning. Why am I and you motivated by fear? Why are we motivated by the negative? Why is that? Because whatever comes before you, whatever is put on your plate, whatever option you have to act, whatever option you have to do, whatever option you have to say, you always stop and think, what is the consequence for me? When the question we are asking, should be asking, is, will this be pleasing in the sight of the Lord? That should be the question that we ask, not what's going to happen to me if I do it.
Hey, Coach, you know what it is? We have pederasts and pedos in high places, right? Don't we have what the Laura Sisley Gaylor in charge of Amber Alert? Why would we let a pervert be in charge of Amber Alert? Someone would try to steal 33 Haitian kids. I mean, you get that?
Yeah, well, it's our whole government. We've yielded them all to it. February 26th, Robert, I want to get you in here today. I'm not making it up. Get that Saved magazine and watch Doug Hagman last night. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable it's just unbelievable, especially if you're having trouble sleeping. February 26th. Know what it is?
Yep, 26th. A little bit of rhyme in this little devotion, but you know the Spirit can do it if He wants it. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. We have to surrender. It's William Booth.
Oh, my goodness, why do you have to surrender? Because when you surrender, you get the real power. See,
that's true. Do God's will, not our own. Said Jesus, abide in Him, and you will win. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like Him. He who abides in Him will surely win. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. Everything done in darkness will be exposed when he returns in the skies. The proud may strut and boast, but only until he returns with his heavenly host. Then Christians will rule the world, even judge angels when they reign with him, the creator of the world, the Holy One adored.
Amen.
We will dwell in God's house forever blessed, while the man-made church house will be forever cursed.
Yes, sir.
Who can be stressed out who is on the winning side with the King of Kings so soon to trumpet his victory shout? His inauguration speech will be heard by all. No media will black out that holy upward call when the great God and Shepherd returns for his sheep, he who rules over all. We overwhelmingly conquer through God who loves us, by the Son of God who lives in us, by the Spirit of God who empowers us, and by the Word of God which instructs us, and by the armor of God which protects us. But those without God in this world are in a world of hurt.
We overwhelmingly conquer through God who loves us, by the Son of God who lives in us, by the Spirit of God which empowers us, who empowers us, by the Word of God which instructs us, and by the armor of God which protects us. Holy smokes! But those without God in this world are in a world of hurt. Robert, that is another, Mike, I got to say that again. We overwhelmingly conquer through the God who loves us, by the Son of God who lives in us. Maybe there's the problem. By the Spirit of God who empowers us, by the Word of God which instructs us, and by the armor of God which protects us. Wow. Somebody help me wrap it up here. That's good. That's a good one. They're all good ones, Robert. That's a mic drop.
If we had
you had Save Magazine in one hand or Wisconsin Christian News in the other, and Finders Keepers in the other, you'd be prepared for the day. Go ahead, Robert. Whoever that was, I thought it was Robert.
Dave, if we had the Holy Spirit in us like the disciples did in Acts, it wouldn't matter who was president. We'd be out there preaching the gospel, knowing that urgency that you started the show out with. We'd be preaching with urgency.
Hey, it tells us something, don't we, when we expect Donald Trump to do it?
Amen.
What the hell's wrong with you waiting on Donald Trump to do it? Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, the Wisconsin Christian News, I said, you know, reading it and studying it and Robert's book and Saved Magazine and everything, all of those all should, and I believe they do, lead toward us getting the Word of God in us. That all they are is tools to accomplish the Word of God in us. The more Word of God you get in you, you have all of those things without even looking at them.
Well, it's like Trump would say, it's a frequency, though, baby. We got to speak it. We got to walk it and speak it and believe it, because what you believe in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. And if you just keep it in your heart and you don't ever get it out of your mouth, it's not good to anybody. That's kind of the way I see it. I don't know about you.
David Arthur's coming back this weekend. He'll be here in Ohio for about 7 or 8 days. And I get the honor of going with him to experience this at Thomas Worthington Tuesday morning. It is going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be something. You tell him when he goes to Worthington Kilbourne, I set him up for him for sure, buddy. That's for sure. They're set up for him. And we heard it, didn't we? The guy on Whole Tones, didn't he say the same thing? It's about truth. And all the negative waves we're getting are lies. They are not truth, or they're semblances of the truth, or copies of the truth, or versions of the truth. The truth stands alone. It doesn't need anybody to prop it up. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It is the truth. And the scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, we'll make you free. Come on, folks. Let's start acting like it. Let's start acting like we know the truth. Believe it. Act upon it.
Let's say that this way. The truth, if we know him and he knows us, we are free.
Jesus is the truth. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.